what they were eating. He was there to explain the mush and all the nutrients inside of it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't remember what happened to him.
He got shot up by agents in the fucking building when there was a... Did he teach Neo about a glitch in the Matrix, Agent Deja Kenny. Vu?
Agent Kitty got him.
No, he didn't.
That was the other girl that died. What was her name?
That was Trinity, bro.
No, what was
the blonde chick?
The blonde that died. She died with Mouse.
What was her name?
Out of all
hashtag
it was like light switch or
Blitz?
Something.
Blitz?
Yeah. Switch.
It was Switch. Yeah.
I think not like this, at least once a day.
Yeah, I do too. I said that today in the car when I was talking about Mouse.
Not like this.
Damn, a lot of Matrix chat today.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
13 years ago.
I was at this barbecue yesterday.
Do
and
tell.
This girl did this like flip thing. This like she was younger. I'm like, whoa, cool, Matrix. And she's like, what? And I was like, oh yeah, I'm old. That movie's old and I'm old.
No, that movie's still new.
That movie takes place in the future.
Every 4-year old flipper should know about the Matrix.
She was like 10.
Alright. Well.
You are old.
Less of an excuse.
You're all old. I'm young though.
He's bananas.
Same here.
Potassium.
I was the oldest one. You're the oldest and most out of touch. Look at this room.
Who?
Lost on the wall? You haven't watched a TV show since Lost that you became a fan of?
No, I did. I watched Breaking Bad.
Where's the Breaking Bad poster?
I don't have one.
That's passe. You wouldn't hang a Breaking Bad poster in your house.
You should have a Fear of the Walking Dead poster to show it.
Fear of the Walking Dead. Hey, I got a Gamorrean guard axe. Watch me. I'm going to do some tricks.
The fuck? Is that real? Is that real?
You know, last time
I'm trying to open this with a cool shot.
Can I just say? Last time I was here, I didn't think we could get any cooler.
No, than the morphin.
You were so wrong.
They have a trick.
I saw.
Oh, shit!
God, oh wow, that could hurt him.
Theme song. If you play me up, I'm getting in your face. You drive on my ass. You fuck on. Welcome back. During the theme song, I just did... Everyone watching the live stream, shut up. Everyone watching on Tuesday, I just did a cool trick during the break. I'm sorry it couldn't be recorded.
Sorry, I didn't see that.
But I did the crazy flip with this. It was awesome. Anyway.
When you bought that design, how long... how far into your day was it? You know, like, was it...
Three quarters.
So you...
Oh, man.
So you walked away for a quarter of the day with that
I got this and a replica Luke Skywalker from Return of the Jedi lightsaber. Whoa. So I had two weapons.
Did
so
security stop you?
That's what you do. You get a weapon so you and your friend can fight in the garage when mom's at work.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
With the lights off.
That's smart.
Mm-hmm. No, I just kind of carried both of them by myself through Disneyland.
Did you go analyze that X?
No, I was done.
Okay.
At this point. I don't think they'd let me on.
Too dangerous.
Walking around Disneyland at night, you know, with both those weapons, I feel like you would favor one over the other.
Are you allowed to have that in your car at night? That's dangerous if you get pulled over by the police. It looks so real.
It's an easy pinch.
They might shoot you.
They also had, for some reason, Disneyland had a ton of foam Star Wars replica weapons. And so this was one. They had a big brown stick that looked like, I can't describe it other than it looked like a plant man's dick. It was like a brown thing with seeds on it and like a head of it. It was just like... Everyone was walking by it going, what is this? And I'm looking at it, and I see that there's a tag on it. Like this, I knew it was a Gamorrean Guard axe.
Right.
I think I know what you're talking about.
I didn't know what this one was, though. I was looking at it, and I'm like, okay, there's a tag right there.
Is it Star Wars?
It was.
Can I guess?
But I'm like, I don't want to look at the tag. I think I should know this.
Right.
And so I didn't. What do you think it was?
I think it was Yoda's cane.
Nailed it!
Gaffy stick.
It was a seed thing you said. It was a Tusken Raider gaffy stick. Not one person who walked by knew what it was. Not one. They all walked by going,
that thing's pretty big.
No, let's get you a lightsaber. It was a little bit, yeah. I messaged him.
Did you?
The good friend and fan of ours, Zach Aka Goldsting, is a Tusken fan. I actually messaged him from there. I said, you're going to want to know about this.
Yeah.
Gaffy sticks are live at Disneyland. And hashtag. I got one message back that was all caps, holy shit. So
they're live. It's lit.
Is that what you call like a toy that's been like
it's woke?
It's live.
They drop.
All the Tuskens are woke.
Yeah, like albums drop, but toys go live.
If something's out, it's gone live.
Collectibles go live.
Is that Sir Steve now? Is he updated?
Sir Steve doesn't need to know. Oh, okay. That guy, that guy dropped the fucking
ball. What happens when a new show comes out? I guess it premieres.
Yeah, it dropped, or it that's an album.
That'd be a drop.
An album drops.
Right.
A new show debuts.
A new show debuts. A new toy goes live. They are live. Oh. Like, they're on the floor.
It's like Toy Story shit.
Yeah.
So what else? Mm. What else is there? A new game? Well, a new game goes live. I think I took that term for toys.
Too many games come out.
And a new movie flops.
Yeah, new movie
If it's a new movie, it'll flop.
Yeah.
Speaking of flop, Pete's Dragon flopped. But wasn't there something?
I think not only that. 2016 is being known as the summer of flops. They have released... They've basically lost so much money this summer because everything they thought was going to be a blockbuster fucking flopped. Mm-hmm. There was a new X-Men this summer. There was new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles this summer. There was a new Ghostbusters this summer. There was Pete's Dragon. I mean...
That's a bummer movie,
even
too.
Like last year, last summer...
There's Mad Max.
You had Mad Max. So there were still like movies that everybody was like, yo, this is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
What's this summer's masterpiece? We had a new Independence Day this summer.
Oh, well, really though, what's been the blockbuster?
Finding Dory.
Yeah, honestly, I guess that's shit.
Sausage Party. Animation movies are doing good, but like big blockbuster movies, they're saying they think it's finally caught up with the movie studios announcing a release date before the previous movie is even released.
Oh, weird.
Absolutely.
X-Men Apocalypse had its release date announced before Days of Future Past had even come out. So there was like basically no time to make sure that
Was good. Absolutely not.
It's getting crazy.
That is insane. I didn't even think about that.
And then of course Ghostbusters flopped cuz you guys are all sexist.
Yeah. That's on you guys.
It is.
Did anybody here see that movie?
Nope. No.
I haven't even seen Ghostbusters 2, so...
Yeah, yeah, I haven't seen any of them, Frank. So I'm with you.
I've said it before. I know it's, controversial, whatever. But in any conversation about Ghostbusters, when people talk about, oh, this new one sucks, or this or that, there's always someone that goes, please, they already wrecked that series with part 2.
That was fine.
1 and 2 are like the same shit to me. Am I crazy?
Personally, I think 2 is better than 1.
I enjoyed the first 2. Like,
they're the same thing to me.
They're very similar.
I never watched them. They dropped the ball. They're the same fucking thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I always thought
2 is so much better than the first one.
Are you serious? Oh, shit.
Wait,
you're talking to that camera.
Right? The second one has
one
has slime in the city.
The Carpathian, and one doesn't. That's it.
When I was a kid, I loved when they took control of the
Statue of Liberty.
That was so cool.
I thought so too.
When they're playing that song,
is
it
Moranis number 2?
Yeah.
That was scary. Better late than never. Yeah, better late than never.
That's what they say with the Titanic.
And then Janine hooked up in 2, and they play Super Mario Brothers.
Hey, you know what? Can I just say in regards to the new Ghostbuster, I think I know how they fucked up royally in that movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
They now stick with me, internet, and see it. Agree or disagree.
We didn't see it though.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right.
They spent so much time emphasizing who the Ghostbusters were.
Oh yeah.
Who was the ghost? They didn't develop a villain and convey that to an audience whatsoever.
Or,
it was just like
this new one.
Yeah, these four ladies are going to be hilarious as they take care of all the ghosts in New York City, and I just thought like, okay, well, yeah, the Ghostbusters...
What's the threat?
Yeah, the Ghostbusters take care of ghosts. Why is this interesting? Like, your movie is only as strong as your villain. That's what they say, and that movie had no villain, at least in the advertisement.
They should have had internet men's rights activists be the ghosts.
They should have.
They kill them all.
Yeah. Brilliant.
They kill them all, and then they have to fight.
They should have Meninus be the ghosts.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
They said Minions.
That would have been cool, too. I haven't seen it, and again, I hope I'm not spoiling anything for people who wanted to see it. But one thing that I heard about it was that the big surprise is that like they mention Gozer coming like later.
Wow.
Like it's not in the movie, but that's their big like. But
well,
it's
that's
like,
never gonna happen because this movie flopped.
Yeah,
this is not
like,
gonna get a sequel,
Gozer,
right?
Who's Gozer?
Gozer was
Gozer
was
the Gozerian.
The threat of the first one.
Yeah. Come on, get with it.
I can't wait for this to be over. It's over now.
It's over.
It's way like, over.
So I had to keep hearing about it.
Wait for it to come out on Netflix, then everyone will watch it, and, well, no one's going to watch it. Wait for it to come out on Netflix so there can be more, like, you know.
I just never care about Ghostbusters ever in my life, so I'm tired of, like, this, go away.
Like, I still haven't seen the Evil Dead reboot. I'm probably not going to see this reboot. I just don't really care that much about reboots.
I didn't see the Evil Dead reboot, but the guy who directed that has a new movie coming out. Called Don't Breathe, which looks like
the horror movie, really fucking good.
I've heard the Evil Dead one was good of all of them. I need to watch it. Yeah. Everyone's gonna give me
that
shit.
Guy, wait, what Evil Dead reboot?
So they remade it. They
remade it. Oh, that one. Yeah, oh, I remember that.
Don't talk about the twist. That guy, that's a spoiler still for me.
That guy actually got picked up because he released a short film on the internet years ago. You probably saw it called Panic Attack. It was. He's from South America, so it was originally called like Panico, whatever.
Oh,
it was
in Spanish.
Yeah, and it was a bunch of like toys. He green screened toys, but made them huge and had them like attack a city.
Oh wow!
And I remember reading the story like, yeah, the guy who made that, Sam Raimi, liked it so much. Sam Raimi's going to produce a movie with him, and that ended up being the Evil Dead remake.
Yeah, okay.
Which I guess was pretty good from what I heard. Yeah, so now he has this new movie coming out called Don't Breathe, which people are saying is like a new classic. Cool. So,
yeah. All right,
keep your eye on that guy.
I've seen videos for Don't Breathe, so I'll check that out. Because I haven't been really. To the theater in a couple months. Just
I went to the theater this weekend.
Nothing that captivated.
Yeah.
I saw Lights Out, but we'll talk about that later.
I've been wanting to see that.
Okay.
All right. Hey, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. I really hate to do this. Something has come up.
Oh, no.
We start talking about movies, and I had some bad news delivered to me. I never thought this would happen.
What?
What has?
I mean, we said what we said, and we did what we did, but unfortunately, it has. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe this. Joker update.
No!
Welcome back, everybody. I didn't think it was possible.
I knew there'd be more.
It can't be more.
Because now the terror starts.
You can't just stop. You can't go through months and months of that shit and then movie's out, we're done. No, there has to be an epilogue to the Joker.
Then, you were right. I can't believe this. I'm going to read the headline.
Okay.
Oh, man. Jared Leto feels like he was tricked into doing Suicide Squad.
I heard about this.
What? Wait a spin.
You know what?
There's the red light.
I can't.
Poor guy.
I can't.
Go ahead. Did you want to expound on the story?
I can't.
Was there anything more to say?
How is he tricked?
Jared Leto says, "This is what."
I know what he said. I heard this article.
This is on D-listed. Someone close to Jared said he was very honest about the film this weekend. His disappointment in what he's learned of the theatrical cut. He's feeling sort of tricked into being part of something that had been pitched to him very differently. Thinking it would be more artistic than what it became, feeling overwhelmed by the hate regarding the look and the choices.
So, I said weeks ago, when we were going through all these Joker updates, I bet Jared Leto is just as sick of Joker news as we are. And I pointed out that every news story had very little to do with Jared Leto. It was always some other actor on the set. Did you want to put that on?
It's okay.
It was always somebody else being like, oh, I didn't like working with Jared Leto. Yeah. He scared me. Or Will Smith. It was never Jared Leto did something else. And I felt like, you know what? If I was Jared Leto, I'd be so fucking sick of people talking about me. Like, just shut up. Leave me alone. And I feel like this story kind of confirms what I thought.
Well, I feel like he did it to his fucking self. Because you're not breaking character on set. You're sending people presents as the Joker. You are being a fucking weird asshole.
Yeah.
And so now you're, stop talking about me being a weird asshole. It's like, no, you're being fucking weird.
Let's cut through the crap. Let's be real.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure the movie studio was encouraging all that shit.
Yeah.
I don't think Jared Leto.
Could be.
Maybe he was in character the whole time, and maybe he was pranking people. He was not sending out that information. That was being pushed out to every media source by the movie studio to low-key advertise Suicide Squad, and they went too far with it. That's how I feel about
it. I don't blame
Jared Leto.
I do. I feel like
I don't feel good removing the blame from Jared.
No, I do.
But I do suspect stuff like that too.
You know what?
I agree.
I also understand where he's coming from, because everybody is saying now Suicide Squad isn't good, and all the excuses are coming out. Well, they only had 6 weeks to work on it, and then they re-edited the movie fucking a month ago, and it's like, I could see how somebody of Jared Leto's caliber can be pitched a movie, and then that movie ends up not being what was pitched when they re-edited.
I agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
And I definitely
also, once like Will Smith signs on, it's like, oh, we have to get him more screen
time. And when Jared Leto says they have over 2 hours of screen scenes that I filmed that aren't in the movie, and that was all cut out, yeah, that leads me to believe that he was pitched something that ended up not being the final product.
I agree with that, but I also think that he was being obnoxious, and this is what you get when you're an obnoxious person.
You're reading into the tablet.
I was at Barnes & Noble yesterday, and all in the clearance aisle, there is all this Joker stuff. It's already there. And it was like...
Hey, response of a laugh.
There is like cutesy plush dolls of Jared Leto with like a big stupid oversized head. And it says damage, and he has like a teardrop.
Yeah.
And there's like really ugly action figures, and I just thought... You had to get the ball rolling on this shit so long ago to have this ready now.
Yep.
And you just never stopped to think,
what a failure.
Is this good? Is this what people want? You just said, no, he's going to look like the guy from D. Antwoord, but we're going to spray paint his hair green and that's going to be fucking cool. Make the plushies. Make the action figures. And it was just like, yeah, you got fucked by the machine. And I think everybody got steamrolled, but most of all, Jared Leto got steamrolled more than anybody.
My theory...
I feel sorry for the Leto.
You guys both have points. I actually legitimately believe that that there is merit to both sides. Because Jared Leto is whatever, but I definitely... I absolutely believe a studio can infuriate something that much more or inflame... I should say.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
When something's that big of a budget, it's got so many fingers involved in it.
He went out in public and did the laugh, and he admitted this. Like, he did this stuff.
But then that's another question.
But
it's like,
did he admit it? It was just a news
story. You know,
it's
like, did he say
it? And it was people,
he said it, but...
It was people speculating. And also...
Wait.
He did talk about doing that.
Yeah, but you know what? Hey... When you go on a fucking late night talk show to promote your shitty action movie for the summer, real talk, if you're an actor, you just, I went out, Jimmy, I practiced it and found the words.
Exactly.
You know, that's some pre-interview shit that you worked out for the Tonight Show.
The thing about Suicide Squad that I actually, the most interesting thing that I find about Suicide
this
Squad.
This is so stupid.
This is the most interesting thing to me. Everything outside of the movie. I can't remember another movie that had so much hype and propaganda and bullshit.
Yeah.
Just think about...
I can't think of something
I can't think of another movie.
Yeah.
There were probably over 25 separate news stories about Jared Leto being the Joker.
Yeah.
For 7 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
25 stories for over 2 years hyping up less than 10 minutes of a performance. Yeah. That is an insane event. And I feel like that's unprecedented in movie history.
Yeah.
A studio really sold you. This guy's Joker's so fucking good. Holy shit, this Joker's gonna make you fucking jizz. Oh my god, do you know how good this Joker is? Oh, this Joker, get ready for this Joker. And then it comes out and it's like, here's the Joker, goodbye. And it was like, wow, something's going on here.
No, I think what's going on is they wanted to save them for the next movie because they want,
their universe building.
You got a taste.
You know what?
Make it more gem.
This Suicide Squad was supposed to save the DC universe.
Yeah.
It failed.
Well,
it was not their Deadpool.
It did not accomplish what it set out to do.
Yeah.
It was supposed to set the tone for like, hey, Marvel's got their universe. This is our universe. And 14% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Now, I don't hate... I mean, all the Jared Leto shit was just obnoxious for the last four years. Mm-hmm. But as an actor, I mean, he was like in Fight Club.
He was in...
He got an Academy Award for...
Dallas Buyers Club.
That was great. And I love Requiem for a Dream. He just got cast in another movie I'm interested in.
Yeah, he was
with
Blade Runner
sequel.
Yeah.
Which is going to be directed by Ridley Scott.
No, it's directed by Dennis. It's got a guy by the guy who did Sicario. Ridley Scott's still producing it though. It's in good hands.
Oh, so he's going to produce. Okay.
Yeah.
But I heard that, and that was worrying a lot of people. But I think maybe he just got screwed over by the studio and Suicide Squad, and he wants to...
It's funny, because there are people saying, like...
I think he's a good actor.
There are people saying, like, you know, because that news story came out, I retweeted it. Yeah. Like, he's been cast in Blade Runner. And I retweeted it, and there were a lot of people going, like, well, I think he'll still do okay. And then I thought, oh, wait, why did I retweet this? It's not because I don't think he can't do it. He'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
He's not a bad actor.
Yeah.
But he's become such a joke because of all
that. Oh, totally.
That's why I did it. It wasn't honestly even anything personal. It's just now I just see the Joker.
All Leto news is
when
super relevant.
When Heath Ledger was the Joker, what did we know about beforehand? Literally nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't hear
this
a single story.
Yeah.
It was negative. It was negative.
But we didn't know anything about it.
But imagine if Heath Ledger was in that movie for a little bit more than 5 minutes. And for 2 years leading up to the release, they kept telling you about how fucking crazy he is.
Oh, man.
They never should have showed what the character design looked like. Oh, yeah. That was the hugest mistake. It should have just been in the fucking movie. And his acting as the Joker, like I said on that podcast after I saw Suicide Squad, him as the Joker wasn't that bad. It was like Leto.
A lot of analysts are saying that this movie, if the hype wasn't there, people probably would have said this movie was fun but mediocre. And instead, it was... never going to live up to 2 years.
Also, again, it's like a $200 million movie. If this is like a $30 million whatever, people are like, okay, great.
And it's funny because that's really what they learned. I mean, it was too late for Suicide Squad to be this. That's really what they learned from Deadpool.
Deadpool
did great, very low budget, and people left it going, okay, give me another one. Yeah. Like, there you go. They need to stop thinking quite on the level they're at, you know. But whatever, that's
Suicide Squad.
Yeah. I'm just more. I don't even care the Jared Leto thing in Blade Runner. I don't really care. I'm super entertained at the fact that they are making another Blade Runner, because that is one of those mythic movies that speaking of not living up to, what can they possibly do in the new Blade Runner that people are going to go, thank you, I got it. You know, like,
no, it's just more for
that's going to be cyberpunk setting.
Yeah.
Dude, we're moving into a new era in movies. The post-good movie era. That's what it is.
Movies really get
greenlit, and they get hundreds of millions of dollars, and nobody expects them to be good. So I have a theory people don't even want them to be good. It's harder to make a good movie than it is to make a bad movie with a good trailer. Think about that.
That's why you gotta make shorts and release them on the internet.
And that's what we're doing.
That's what we're all about. Hey!
We didn't have a video... we did have a huge milestone. We hit our Patreon goal.
We not only met it, we surpassed it.
Our Patreon goal.
Ladies and gentlemen,
be a celebration.
First of all, I would just want to say, you said we're in the bad movie era or the post-good movie era.
Yeah.
We are also, and we should say, we have entered a different era as well. Now, I want to get some feedback here. This new era we're in, we could call it, we're in the AR years, which is after Royce.
Right.
That's the era.
Yeah.
Or we could look at it as the AG era after goal. Because we had a Patreon goal and we surpassed it, which is a whole new milestone.
AG.
You know, hey, I love Royce, and it's sad that he's no longer with us. Well, he's alive, but, no longer.
But he's dead to us.
Like we said before, mafia style. But I like to focus on the positive. I think after goal, you know, like, this is what we do. What's up?
Do you think Royce is watching this?
I really wonder.
Oh, absolutely. He's still watching and recording it just in case.
Yeah, Royce, like, he doesn't go back on the horse.
Royce, if you're out there,
he doesn't
love
have boxing
you.
On Sunday. He's watching.
But yeah, we hit our Patreon goal. Huge milestone for us. We should say thank you to all our
thank
patrons.
Thank you so much to everybody.
We're preparing to send out our first box of what do we call in our box? Our Mega 64 bundle?
Yeah, I don't know. We should have a cool name.
Oh, you know what?
Tier 3 bundle? I don't know what it is.
We're supposed to do our sweepstakes today on the show.
Yeah.
And we did not plan that.
Well, once again, we're not in the studio, so we got... Listen, everybody watching this, there is a monthly sweepstakes for our Patreon. No matter how much you give, a dollar, whatever, we have a sweepstakes that anybody can be involved in, anybody can enter. And...
Yeah, and...
We haven't been in the studio to announce the winners. So
next week.
You know what we're going to do?
Think?
Oh, fuck. I would love to do the sweepstakes live here on the podcast so we can pull the names out and announce them, announce the winners live. But we're actually sending out the boxes before our next podcast. Mm-hmm. So what I propose is that we just pull the winners tomorrow and tweet out who they are or contact them individually.
We could pull the winners tonight at the end of the show, but we just don't have the prizes here. I mean, that's a we can announce the prizes later, well, or we can do it all later.
Could you edit something in on Tuesday?
Let's edit something in on Tuesday. That's what
we'll
do.
Okay.
All right. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna pull the winners tomorrow.
Tomorrow for Sean.
What's wrong?
That's fine. Just gave him more work to do. Yeah, no, anyway.
Do like a 5-hour like raffle draw.
Yeah, 5-hour sweepstakes.
Yeah.
And the first winner. No, so we're going to draw three winners tomorrow. We will add them into a special additional segment on Tuesday's podcast. Check it out right at the very end of the podcast. In fact, just skip to the end and rewind it by 5 minutes if you want to see who the winners are.
Yes, if you're a donator
and
Patreoner.
Yeah.
What are they called?
Again, thanks for supporting our Patreon. If you want to enter the sweepstakes, there's no purchase necessary. And all the information is available on our Patreon. So check it out.
Yes. Patreon.com/Mega64.
But more importantly, what this means is that version 4.1, V4.1, is fully funded, baby.
That's
right.
Oh, that's right.
That means it's coming out for free, technically speaking, to everybody. Available online for online streaming.
Anyone can see it. When it's ready.
Next summer.
And,
wow. We're promising the release date.
And
just like the movie studios, we're giving you the release date now before
the
movie is done.
Hey, you're going to have to compete with fucking where are all the movies announced?
Suicide Squad 2.
No,
oh, Cruise 2.
Yeah,
God damn it.
But next summer, like, seriously, again, we wanted to do version 4.1. It's our passion. We always wanted to do it. We were going to do it. But it always was relegated to a side thing. We always had to put it off. Oh, okay, well, this is coming up. We have to do these kind of commercial works instead. But if we stay at this level, now that we've hit, now it's our main project. Yeah. We're doing this all the time.
And not only that.
This is great.
And it doesn't stop there because we have another milestone right around the corner. The Mega 64 best-selling book. It's not on the bestseller list yet, but when it comes
it
will be.
Derek was at Barnes & Noble the other day. He was taking a look at the bestseller section.
I used to work at Barnes & Noble. I know what it takes to make a bestseller. Wasn't I, Justine, on the bestseller list?
Yeah. I think so.
Takes a sticker.
Oh, my God. Hey, anyways, so our book,
Justine. That's right. Kevin.
It takes a sticker on the
front. We'll just put stickers on
print
the front.
Sticker
of our book.
On the front.
Oh, easy.
You can do that. That's all you have to do.
And you know what? What if we title our book the New York Times best-selling book, Mega 64 the Book?
Yeah.
That's the title.
That's a great title.
Anyway, so we're going to start working on our book now because our milestone is right around the corner. So keep supporting us. All our patrons will get 25% off. And you know what? I'll just take a moment to say we've been talking about a book for like almost 10 years.
Yeah.
We have
a
stuff.
A long time.
We've been collecting photographs since the beginning of Mega 64. We've been writing things and keeping them for years and years and years, just in the off chance, like, hey, someday wouldn't it be cool to put all this in a book? And now we finally figured when we sat down to kind of redesign our Patreon, we put this as like a chaser milestone. Like, we'll probably never hit it, but wouldn't it be cool?
Yep.
And here we are. We've arrived right at the doorstep of this next milestone, something we've always dreamed of.
Yep.
It's going to be really good. So keep supporting us. The book is right around the corner, and that's really all there is to say.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
By the way, if you do support us on Patreon, just today put up a new episode of Friend Dimension. Mm-hmm. A lot of people want more Friend Dimension. It's been going. It's been happening on our Patreon. Even if you give just a dollar, you'll get in and you'll see all the episodes. But we did Batman Arkham Knight.
That was fun.
And it is an exceedingly frustrating to watch episode. So look forward to that.
I actually think, because I was watching you edit
it's a tough
game.
Yeah.
And we were talking, when you do a single player game in a room full of people, it's a different dynamic.
Yeah.
It's stressful.
Because
Hey, honestly, in some ways it's better. Like, multiplayer games are fun and there's a competition, but I, as a kid, with all my friends, would sit around and we would play a single player game. I have so many memories of just watching my friend Michael playing Metal Gear Solid, and I'm just on his bed watching him for hours.
That's when it gets into a gray area when you're talking to friends about like games you've beat, and it's like, I didn't beat it, but sat behind Jordan Tidwell.
Yeah, hey, you know what? If you were there for Zelda, like 65, 75% of the game just watching it, you beat it.
And also,
yeah. Looking also in the game guide and like reading
like,
through to
help. Talking through with people like, do this, try that thing. And like, yeah, whatever.
In elementary school, I spent a whole summer watching my friend play Harvest Moon 64.
Yeah.
But hey, I felt like I was helping run that
clock.
You were. So.
I feel like everyone has that gray area.
I was going to say,
For me, Zelda 64, I had the game because I won it from the radio station in a contest.
Ocarina of Time,
yeah. But I didn't have a Nintendo 64. My friend did. So I had the game. He had the console.
Together.
Bring us together. Yeah. We played the game.
It's funny you called it Zelda 64 because that was the name of it. I mean, they hyped that up for years, calling it Zelda 64 until... It was not Ocarina of Time until the last minute.
Wow.
And so that's funny because I still call it that too. Zelda 64. My gray area game like that...
Yeah.
One of my favorite games of all time. And then when I think about it, I'm like, no, I never beat it myself.
Yeah.
Honestly, Shadow of the Colossus.
Hey, me too.
Because
we were all
in a room watching Matt Lopez get to the end and scale the thing and beat it. And the ending blew me away. And I'm like, well, I mean, I spent my whole night watching him scale this thing.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah, and see,
I was there.
I don't know if you remember that. Midsummer Night's Dream, you, me, Adam, Matt, maybe Brandon, spent the night at Matt's house, beat Devil May Cry in one night.
Oh,
all five of us. We would take turns sleeping because there were five of us. So it was like, all right, Derek, wake up. You got
to
beat this level.
Yeah. And I was like, this sounds terrible. No, I didn't do it. And the next day, you were all so tired but so proud of yourself.
I was going to say, I was there until a certain point. And I was like, it's getting really late and we're rehearsing tomorrow, so I think I am going to go. And I thought, well, I'm leaving. I bet they're all going to bed too.
Nope.
And I remember coming the next day and everyone else did stay. And they were all, I was at the rehearsal, like, just fresh as a daisy. And everyone else is like,
We beat it.
Hey, do you know your opening monologue?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I know.
So the point is, we have a new friend to mention up. It's a single player game, different vibe, maybe a better vibe. Sign up for our Patreon. It's worth a dollar if it makes you laugh.
Yeah, true.
The lowest tier enters you into our sweepstakes, and it gets you episodes of Friend Dimension.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. So
check it out.
Yeah. Thank you to everybody. And just to kind of spiral off of that a little bit, we didn't have a video this week that came out because, we were dealing with a lot of version 4 stuff. And
let's be candid.
You know,
I want to be candid for a moment.
Yeah.
We hit our goal on the Patreon for version 4.
Mm-hmm.
All full steam ahead on version 4.
You guys stopped all plans.
Like, we're
going
to continue to release videos for our channel, but I mean, I feel like the people have spoken.
Yeah.
People who love Mega 64, who really care about it, have supported the goal, make version 4 and release it online. And I feel like, once we hit that goal, it was our duty to kind of like clear our schedule and be like, yo,
exactly,
boom, get the ball rolling. I mean, it was already rolling, but it was really clear the plate and let's make some headway on version 4.
Yeah. So videos are definitely still coming, but our priority is version 4.
We're making that our focus.
For sure.
That our focus. And that is thanks to hitting our goal, which is, you know, what we've been looking forward to for so long. We're actually, we're so happy.
Honestly happier than I seem right now.
We're actually happy.
It finally happened.
Yeah. You know how miserable we've been for years?
Oh.
Not anymore.
That's why we didn't invite Eric today.
Yeah, because he didn't. The policy vibes were off a little bit, so we were like, goodbye.
This reminds me, this is a dumb, quick little story. I was leaving my house like a month ago, and, I have a gardener, but like my grandmother pays for it, so it's not
fancy.
My gardener.
My
landlord.
Wow.
Oh yeah,
rich guy Sean.
Yeah, my landlord.
What wing of the house was he working at?
The west one. Anyways, so I'm leaving the house, and he has a little machine on, and he goes, "How's work?" And we're in like the middle of like writing a video, but it wasn't going. It was like tough. That's all right. Just all right. Yeah, it's just all right. And then I got in the car and I started driving home. I'm driving to work, and then I realized, he didn't say how's work. He asked how's it look about the bush he just sculpted.
Oh,
and I just said, that's all right.
Hey,
that's all right.
Yeah. There's always room for improvement. I think, you know.
Sean, are you saying there's a language barrier?
So
just all right.
So
after
that, he kind of stopped working on my house so much. Like it doesn't. My landlord just came over and saw the backyard and called me yesterday. Hey, just so you know, I fired that gardener because he was not doing the work he's supposed to do at the house. So.
Sean! That's
now you got him fired.
Oh my fucking god!
You ruined his day, and then you got him fired.
But not only that, he still works at like other houses in my neighborhood, so I see him man. Like every week. He's like out there just looking at me.
He probably thinks you called in to fire him.
You should lock the doors and windows at night. You might want
to holy shit.
Sneak in. He's got big sharp shears, right? All right,
moral of the story, maybe start feeling more positive about work.
No shit. We were just writing a video. We're having a tough time with it, so we'll get to it tomorrow, and that was when he caught me.
Maybe just a little bit of positivity goes a long way.
Hey, he's going to work really hard. You know, he's 10 years. Recognize me the best gardener.
So anyways, how do you misunderstand that?
It was loud. He had this like little like weed whacker thing on.
How does it look?
All right. Just all right. Whatever.
You said before we started that there was a part two, and I was excited.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was gonna go that route.
After my landlord called me, I hung up. I feel like this is a creepy enthusiasm. Like this is a literary.
That's what people in the chat were just.
Yeah, but you know what? You should have said, "Oh no, can you hire him?"
You could have
You could have been on the phone.
He wasn't doing his job anymore. He already hated me.
Remember that was a plot point in.
That's
he already hated me.
That's sick.
He's already a fucking asshole.
He's only doing an all right job. Yeah,
he got offended when I told him. Fuck him.
Wasn't that a plot in Breaking Bad, like the first season? Remember the janitor kept trying to help Walter White with stuff? And then what happened? He got caught for something. They were going to catch Walter White, but instead they pinned it on the nice janitor. And they were like, yeah, we found an ounce of weed in his truck, so he's fired from ever working at a school again. And Walter White like wants to take credit for it, but it's like, no, they'll get me.
Yeah.
And it's like, he let the guy get fired or something.
Gotta do what you gotta
do. I don't know. It was a whole guilty thing. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
This is only season one of Sean's Descent.
Yeah, Breaking Chat.
Stay tuned, guys. We're going to have to change his name to, what the fuck they call him? Mr. Morozov?
The man
Hindenburg.
Hindenburg? Heisenberg?
I said that anytime I saw someone dressed as Walter White at Comic-Con, like they had the fedora and the thing, I always go, oh, Hindenburg! And then not one person got it. They all went, Heisenberg. Or, in the case, there was one guy, I said it, and then he just kind of looked upset, and I realized, he's a heavier guy, and you shouldn't yell Hindenburg.
Oh! Called him a blimp.
I realized that. He got upset, and I was like, oh,
I like how Rock goes, I call them Hindenburg, and they don't get it. Fucking idiots.
The best was
an unrelated thing? Come on! Oh,
the best was in PAX South. Yeah. We had a really old guy come to this.
It was you and Brian, right?
Me and Brian, two years ago. And he was dressed just like him, but did not mean it whatsoever.
Oh, no. That's
his look. Yeah. So Brian's just like, oh, Hindenburg, Heisenberg. And he's just like, what? He's like 80. we just kept doing it.
That reminds me of when I worked at a video store
eons?
14 years ago at this, 15, whatever, years ago at this point. And I remember I would always, you know, I had to make calls some days to just get people to return their videos. And I would be on there for hours, and I would get into a groove where I don't care, and I'm making jokes, and I'm doing, and I'll never forget picking up one. I had to call a guy named JR, and I'd be like, hey, I'm calling, this is Rago calling for Blockbuster Videos, is this JR? Yeah. Oh, who shot you? Anyway, what do you mean, what? No, like, who shot JR? What do you mean, who shot JR? Like the TV show. Uh-oh. What TV show? No, no. Fine.
Click.
I don't remember if I hung up or not. I was like, okay.
Oopsie.
Man, why did I even bring that up?
You know, did you say something to me? Did I say something to you? Sorry. Old experience.
The Hindenburg reminds me, there's a new show called Timeless. They were putting it at Comic-Con, but there's a lot of commercials for it.
Yeah. On NBC,
Olympics,
right?
On NBC.
Yeah.
And it's, this guy went back in time. He's trying to change the past. We got to stop him. And they're trying to go back. But stop right there. It already doesn't make sense because he already changed the past. So then there's not, like, this is the dumbest fucking premise of the show.
Well, it depends on what rules are they following. Are they following what happened so that the things he does in the past have already happened? Or are they going by another route, which would be that he can alter things and thus affect the future? Which route are they taking? So you're casting this off, but you tell me.
No, I agree with Sean. Both those things happen at the same time.
Yeah. Doc Brown drew it on a chalkboard.
Yeah, right? You see alternate.
Yeah.
I don't know.
To me, it seems like...
That's a big difference to me.
He's going
to
change the past. He's back in time. Well, then he changed it.
I don't know.
Yeah, then it already happened.
No. Yeah, then
you can't stop Judgment Day.
That's true.
Judgment Day already happened.
But anyway, I just see any drama or sci-fi show that NBC advertises, I just go, well, you'll cancel that in two episodes, so why bother? Like, they give no time for anything to build an audience.
Yeah. Hey, honestly, I'm not going to watch an NBC show ever until season two.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly.
Ever.
Honestly. And that's
And NBC has forced me to do that. I'm not going to support any show you put on season one.
You're just going
to
cancel it.
F you. Yeah, you're going to cancel it.
Exactly.
It's a downward spiral because now I'm not going to watch it.
You know
what? So it'll get canceled.
It's become a joke now. Every time we see it, we go, like, it's not going to
Besides Lost, when was the last time you watched a primetime network show?
Oh, that was the last one.
That was it.
Because if that was a new drama on a network, it's like, well, no, because it'd be on HBO or Netflix now. Yeah, it won't be on the Fox or NBC.
And that's what I was going to say. What's so great about HBO is the networks don't give anything a chance to build an audience.
Yeah.
You can in 2 weeks you build an audience? It's got a steamroll. I mean, Game of Thrones was not the biggest show ever in two episodes. I mean, it was big, but it wasn't where it was at, you know.
Right. Breaking Bad. It was a small little show.
Yeah, Breaking Bad had no ratings the first
the
season.
The Office.
Yeah,
The Office.
Their own show. Their own biggest show ever.
And NBC, it's so funny they don't learn their own lessons because NBC did stick with that and it paid off.
But they almost canceled it.
They almost did a million times. Yeah. And that's what's so great about HBO is HBO will commit to their thing. Mm-hmm. No matter what it is. I mean, The Leftovers is a show that people were on in the first season. Second season was some of the best TV ever, but it got even worse ratings than the first season. But HBO is going, nah, well, we're going to give them a third season just to wrap it up. Like, they already know it's ending, but they're giving it the dignity of, like, 8 episodes to wrap it up. That's great. Now they have a complete contained thing that will always live on.
Yeah.
Hey, and not only that, we said NBC doesn't learn their lessons, like with The Office. They don't learn their good lessons. They don't learn their bad lessons either. Because they have a show coming out this season. I don't remember what it's called, but it's about, like, working in a Walmart.
This is the second season of the show.
I remember I just watched that and I was like, you remember like 5 years ago they had a show about working in a call center in India? Like, NBC's gimmick is just any fucking shitty job. There's your sitcom.
There's a show.
Oh, what if you worked in a call center? What if you worked in Walmart? I'm telling you, next year or 2 years, show about working in a gas station. That's on its way.
Can't wait.
The most mundane career you could think of is the next NBC sitcom.
Did Fox ever let their rebringing of X-Files, like, breathe? Is that still going?
One season.
No, it was just a short thing.
It was just a mini series.
How many seasons? Six episodes.
I think that was technically the last thing that was... I mean, is Fox considered a network? Are they number 4 now?
Yeah.
But that was the last thing that I...
Fox actually has a new show about San Diego.
What? Oh, The Pitch.
It's called Pitch. Yeah, it's about baseball's first female pitcher. She plays for the Padres.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be
Why don't the Padres have a female pitcher in real life?
Why doesn't any team in real life have a female pitcher?
I can't answer that question, Gary.
Well, I can't suspend disbelief to watch the show then.
Okay.
I boycott it. but yeah, I watched the first couple episodes and I was not too into X-Files.
I heard it got better as it went.
But that's what I'm curious. If it got a whole season, it was bad, right?
The first episode was too heavy-handed.
That's what everyone said.
But as I watched, I watched two or three more, and it got more into it. Okay. But
I watched like 4, I think.
You know what? I felt like there was this kind of stink of the old X-Files. Kind of, it was just like
trying to do the stuff again,
trying to get back in touch with the '90s show, and it was like, why are we doing this?
Was the reboot Monster of the Week,
or did they try doing like a serial?
That's what I don't know. I think it was
much in the same way the original X-Files had this arcing conspiracy that they would come back to every couple episodes. I think that's what they were doing with the miniseries. The first one was very like New World Order. And then the second one was kind of like a monster, and the third one was kind of like a monster. But I think they were eventually going to come back to that New World Order thing. But I didn't stick with it, so.
I think it was the third one in that was real different, because it was either like just a straight up kind of had some slapstick stuff in it, like it was funny, like the show used to be. And that one I think I liked of the... Maybe I just saw the first three. But yeah, I'm curious, I guess, that I guess before that Lost, but I do not watch network
television.
Let's change here some TV to movies, because I saw like 3 movies this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Can we take one moment?
Let's take a moment.
Real quick, just want to thank our sponsor, Kickapoo Joy Juice. Our good friends at Kickapoo have been funding us with delicious, soda-rific treats every week. We don't. Again, we're not at the studio, so it's not here. So we have to drink piss water.
You know what? I was looking at something recently, maybe it was Netflix or Amazon, but I saw the movie, like this old movie, Lil Abner, and I thought to myself, that's what Kickapoo is from.
Oh yeah.
Whenever I see that reference, I think of it.
A little bit of history.
Me too. Kickapoo. It's got a long secret history within the United States. It's kind of like the counterculture beverage. Kickapoo was around back when they were doing Woodstock. That's cool.
Classic. Yeah. Classic shit.
Fog hat.
So go ahead. Get some. Go to drinkkickapoo.com. Get a case. Follow at drinkkickapoo on Twitter if you need all the up-to-date information on where you can have a sip of your own. And you can order it on Amazon. And someone just confirmed with me that they found it at another store.
Confirmation.
And, shit, now I can't remember. They emailed me.
Was it Thrifty?
I don't know what it
was. Payless Shoes.
Was
it Best Buy?
Save-On?
No. It
Love
was,
Boutique.
Well, people have been finding it at Beverages
Subway.
And More, Come and Go.
Bevmo, okay.
Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel?
If you got a Cracker Barrel?
Jesus, shit.
Start asking.
Don't drink the gravy like you want to. You drink a Kickapoo?
Yeah, have a Kickapoo.
Of course Cracker Barrel would supply Kickapoo. Of course. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
There it is.
Cracker Barrel's good.
It's like shooting crackers in a barrel to find one. Mm. It's that easy. That was racist. I'm sorry.
So
to all our white, to all our white viewers.
Oh,
I didn't know
that. That cracker is a.
I haven't heard that. Racial term.
Yeah.
Heard that.
We have a lot of white viewers, so.
So
I
saw Lights Out.
You
this
did.
Weekend. Yeah.
Is the sequel going to be Guerrilla Radio?
I made the same joke. Well, I said that the theme song will be Rage Against the Machine.
Oh yeah.
Did you see that I posted? You saw Lights Out that I posted on my Facebook. The YouTube video?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I've seen the YouTube video, the one of the in the hallway.
So there's a YouTube video called Lights Out.
I watched that short.
That's the same director.
Oh, okay.
He made that YouTube video, and it got so popular, he got pulled to Hollywood. And
that's what got me excited about
it. Yeah, and that's what this movie is based on.
The short was good, yeah.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Watch the YouTube short. The movie is a Hollywood horror movie.
Really?
That is just like... I think we need to set some ground rules. Things you cannot have in horror movies anymore. Your mom... anything to do with a mental institution, or your mom was once in a mental institution, get over it, okay?
Yeah, we've
They did
it.
That in Psycho. Fucking 45 years ago. And they've done it like every year in every movie ever since. And that's a major part of this movie. This movie's just filled with cliches, you know, like the little kid can't sleep, so he's, like, tired in class because he's afraid to go to sleep at night. It's like, that's the plot of Nightmare on Elm Street. But basically, most of all, I just felt like the short was good in its vagueness. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And when they try to attach a story to the monster and explain it to you, it's like,
it kind of loses its charm.
Yeah. Poltergeist 2 did
like,
that.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Even... I could say that about, I don't know if it's exactly the same thing because I haven't seen it, but the original Silent Hill movie.
Yeah.
I actually think as a video game adaptation, it wasn't bad.
It was super fucking good.
But even that gets...
I think that was like the best video game
adaptation. It is, but it's still mediocre to me.
It's still an averagey movie.
Still a video game movie.
But that's what I was going to say. It hit a point later where there was like a real big info dump explanation part. Where they're explaining why the weird shit is happening or this or that or whatever. And that was, I remember something like, man, if this movie just didn't have that and it kind of let me just figure all this out, that would have been a lot cooler.
Some things are scarier, especially in horror.
If I just didn't understand.
Yeah. Horror especially, some things are better if they're left in the realm of the unknown or explainable.
Don't show everything. Especially with the monster.
You kind of put all the pieces here and like they don't quite connect. The audience has to fill in the gaps. I feel like that's better than like, now let me tell you why they're being haunted.
And they can also fill in the worst fears in the gaps.
Exactly.
Hey, let's be real. I mean, I'm just saying my favorite horror movie of all time is still The Shining.
Yeah.
And I still can't tell you really what the horror was. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I don't have a definitive answer. I have ideas.
Yeah. Right.
But I don't, you know.
And
it's
this
like,
Lights Out was actually pretty good compared to some of the horror movies I've seen. There were parts that made me jump. And it never got to a point of super ludicrousness where I was checked out like, end this fucking movie. I was watching it being like, alright, a little bit bad. But the ghost monster thing in it talks.
Oh, fun.
And
English.
And yeah, clear, like, direct sentences. I think at one point, somebody points a gun at the entity, and you hear it go, that won't hurt me.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's terrible. horrible.
See, like the movie Paranormal Activity, I love that
the original Paranormal Activity.
That's the next one on my list, actually. I want to watch
that. It doesn't show
that.
Anything, and I love that.
Those footprints are all you need.
The most recent one,
Ghost Dimension. Or
Ghost
whatever?
Dimension. Their tagline is "This time you'll see the activity."
No,
and it's like I don't want to see the fucking ghosts.
Post good movie era. Here we are.
I don't like understand why the need to show you everything because your mind is way scarier than whatever they can show.
Speaking of horror films, one thing I'm like kind. I don't know. They're making.
I want to get back to that. Just save that point. Why do we have to show you everything? I'm gonna get back to that. But go ahead.
No, they're coming out with the new Blair Witch. Comes out like October,
really?
But it's by like the guys that did like Your Next, like Adam Wingard and Simon Gardner. It's by like good horror filmmakers, and so they know what they're doing. But like the best thing about Blair Witch is, they don't explain anything, they don't show anything,
nothing.
This new Blair Witch is getting kind of good reviews, but again, it's just from the Comic-Con audience. I don't know.
Yeah, people
but,
at Comic-Con who said they saw it. Well, first of all, they walked in not knowing it was Blair Witch.
Yeah.
They walked in thinking it was some of the other horror movies.
That's how I found out about Blair Witch was at Comic-Con. I think no, that was The Ring. Never mind.
That's two. But everyone I talked to said it was really good. I mean, again, people at Comic-Con now.
So that's what I'm saying is like, again, it's definitely not a reboot, whatever. It's supposed to like take off where it's like the group of friends are looking for the group of friends, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Do they disavow Blair Witch 2?
Yeah, Blair Witch 2 is not canon.
Can I say though that I love that movie for what it is.
But that movie sucks.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Blair Witch 2?
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to it. But
great
they
soundtrack.
Stick with that. What the other
cool. I saw two other movies. I saw The Ruins, which is on, I think, HBO Go. Do you remember that movie? It's like 2008.
No.
You know what? The Ruins is... It's billed as a horror movie. It's not really that scary, but it's kind of like an interesting mystery. A bunch of kids go through Mexico. They're on vacation. They want to go to this Mayan ruin.
Okay, yeah.
But when they get to the ruin, they're surrounded by all these Mexican guys, Mayans maybe, who are super violent towards them and chase them up. And they chase them up to the top of the ruins,
like
but they
Resident
won't,
Evil 4,
but they won't follow them up there.
Yeah.
And the people, like, don't know, like, these people are, like, they're going to kill us, but they won't come up here. We don't know what's going on. And it's about the ruins. What's happening? I don't want to spoil it for you, but...
I'll
check
that out.
Was it cool? It's written by the same guy who wrote Sam Raimi's A Simple Plan, which was, like, a really dark, cool movie.
Okay, so here's the thing.
I never saw that, though.
The Ruins is definitely about something. And you don't know what that thing is going in. It's the kind of movie where when you finally find out, oh, this is what it's about, you're either going to be like, all right, I'm into it. Or you're going to say, fuck this. Give me a fucking break. It is like a very decisive. Some people say it's a good movie, and other people say like, nah, not my cup of tea. But you don't know what that thing is until about halfway through the movie. So I'm going to leave it at that.
I'll check that out.
I'll let you guys check
it on
it
Netflix?
Out. I saw it on HBO Go. So.
Oh, okay.
Another really good horror movie is kind of similar is The Descent. Did you ever
I like that.
I've
never seen
that. That's the one monster, and it's a bunch of girls who are like
spelunking in a cave. I did not like that movie, but that's just me.
Yeah.
No.
But
I like a good monster flick, and that had like a lot of practical makeup effects. I remember actually talking about that probably on the podcast when it came out.
The monsters look good, but
yeah.
Just the girl's story didn't do it for me.
No,
I saw
no.
one other movie this weekend. Mm-hmm. One of the best, greatest... worst movies of all time.
Oh,
I saw a good
movie.
It is a trauma. One of the most awful movies ever made. I actually was amazed at how much I enjoyed watching this piece of dog shit.
So you hated it, but you enjoyed watching it.
Oh my god!
Oh
right. No! Let me say
no. Okay, he says no.
I liked it.
Oh, he,
yeah.
I don't know.
I like.
I understood you until you corrected
myself. For how bad it was, I'm gonna say.
What is it?
Unfriended.
Oh shit!
Is that the one that
watched
it like over Skype?
Yeah.
Unfriended.
I saw that.
You saw?
I saw. I heard about it.
Skype horror movie.
I want to.
Let me tell you.
I want to see that.
I didn't know this going in. Unfriended is the main character's computer screen. The movie opens, like, made by Paramount. Cut to a computer screen.
Desktop.
And for 90 minutes, it is a single shot of her computer screen.
What the fuck?
She goes to Live Links in the opening scene, and there's, like, a video of a suicide caught on tape. She full screens it. You watch that video. You don't even know it's a girl at first. And she pauses it. Person goes to Netflix. I mean, YouTube. And they watch some videos, like, posted about the person who committed suicide. Then they get a Skype call, and it's them Skyping. You finally see the main character when they turn on their own camera. And then they get a group Skype, and that is the rest of the movie. A group Skype.
Yeah. And this is produced by MTV Films, right?
I don't think so.
I think
they published it. But all they did was distribute it. They didn't make it.
So that setup, kind of, I was like, all right, I'm going to watch it. It devolved into, like, one of the shittiest, like, high schoolers wrote this movie, it seems It's about people in high school, but it's this classic thing of, it's this classic mistake of shitty writing, where you write high schoolers, but they're doing all this crazy college level shit. Like, these people are talking about, like, ooh, I'm looking forward to prom. But then later on in the movie, you find out, like, oh, you were a drug dealer. Remember that time when you roofied that girl? Or remember that time when you fucking tried to kill that person? And I'm just thinking, like, okay, you guys were talking about how fun prom is going to be, like, 5 minutes ago.
They don't seem like the type to roofie and then...
They must go to a really cool high school.
I'm going to kind of spoil it a little bit. I'm not going to give it all away, but I'm going to tell you what.
Please don't spoil it. I'm going to check.
A girl at school committed suicide that they all know 1 year ago. Tonight's the anniversary, and suddenly...
Dude, it's like I know what you did last time.
Suddenly, they're in a group Skype call, and they have a mystery person in the call. They don't know who it is.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's a hacker. They keep, like, recalling each other, but the person keeps coming in. And slowly, they start to think it's the ghost of the dead girl. Remember a moment ago, you were like, why does every movie need to show you everything?
Yeah.
This is the worst case of telling you what's happening and not showing you, because at one point... The main character on our computer screen goes to, like, spookyhauntingsforum.net and finds a thread called, like, never answer messages from a dead person. Which, by the way, she's on Facebook the whole movie, Facebooking this dead person.
Yeah.
And then it's like she scrolls down and it's like in giant size 72 font, like, ghosts are real and ghosts can possess you and ghosts can force you to commit suicide. And she just reads that, and she's like, oh, fuck! And she gets back on, she talks above, she's like, oh my god, I think this ghost is gonna possess us! And then, like, later her on, she goes back to the forum and scrolls down, scrolls past a bunch of tiny, you know, written out posts, to another size 72 post. The only way to combat a ghost that is possessing you is to confess your sins. And I'm just like,
Jesus Christ.
I'm just like, they're literally spelling it out for you. In Unfriended, they literally put text on the screen that tells you what the bad guy is doing. Yeah. And there are so many levels of shit that doesn't make sense. One character dies, and it was a fucking comedy. You couldn't have a funnier scene in a comedy movie if you tried. It's like some fat kid's on Skype and suddenly, like, the mystery call, like, turns into a camera shot and it's, like, of his room behind him. Oh, fuck. So he, like, gets up and he walks over to where this camera might be. And in the mystery person's shot, you see him, like, getting close to the camera. And then he just stares for a minute. And then all the cameras cut out. It goes black. And all his friends are like,
oh no.
Where'd he go? Oh, where'd he go? Where'd he go? And this was in the trailer. It cuts back for half a second. It comes on. The fat kid has a blender and he's sticking his hand into it. Just, oh my god! And then it cuts back out.
Oh, the old Goonies.
Yeah! And it cuts back. And then it cuts back in and it's like him, like, slamming his face on it. Oh, Jesus! And then it cuts out and they never see him again.
Oh my god. And it's like that level
slapstick. Like, wow, the ghost possessed him and made him put his hand into a blender. Oh, it's fucking evil.
I can just imagine him. It's like, fist in a blender, like, oh! Hey,
it is so awful, like, it is a laugh riot.
I'm watching it.
Please, everybody.
Did you watch it on a computer screen?
I think it's...
Get the richer experience.
Honestly, let me tell you. It was made to be watched on a computer screen. Yeah. If you could do that, because I watched it on a TV in the corner of my room, and half the shit I couldn't read. They're doing Facebook messages, and I'm like, I can't read what you're typing, because I'm laying in my bed across the screen, like, could you full screen that? But, it was garbage. I recommend it.
I'll check it out.
Unfriended. Check it out.
Yeah, I definitely will watch that.
I want to talk more about it after you've seen it.
Okay.
I want to talk about the twist ending.
Ooh.
I really want you to see Escape from L.A. Okay. Because of the ending, where the end fight is.
Okay. Have you never seen that?
I've never seen Escape from L.A., New York,
it's,
any
it's
of that.
It's garbage, but I love it.
Okay.
Like, New York's great.
I don't, okay.
I've New never seen New York.
One, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I've only
yeah.
seen the first
York's
one.
New York's great. L.A. is just fucking there.
You know what? Yeah. Everything that's wrong with Escape from L.A. is also wrong in Escape from New York.
Yeah.
Except Escape from New York was made in the early 80s, mm-hmm.
yeah.
so it's like extra wrong.
Yeah.
I actually don't like Escape from New York, but I haven't seen it in a few years.
Escape
so.
From L.A. is like Johnny Mnemonic.
Yeah.
It's just super cheesy.
It's
and corny.
Cheesy, but
the CG is so bad.
But it's
Steve
a little
Buscemi's
bit like
yeah.
It's a little bit like gruesome and macabre. There's like, you know, stuff
yeah.
in it that's a little bit edgy that makes it cool.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I know about those movies is you got a main character named Snake, right?
Snake Plissken,
which
yeah.
reminds me, let's talk about the big thing that happened in the in the game industry this week. The shockwave. The shockwave rippled through the video gaming community.
Tearing
as
fans
we
in half.
Got a new Metal Gear in a post Kojima age.
What?
You know, around for this?
Gamescom.
No, he was too busy firing his gardener.
Was he not? Maybe it was the day you weren't there.
You're not following up on Gamescom.
Konami announced a new Metal Gear.
What?
It is called Metal Gear Survive.
Okay. Yeah. We had such a long conversation about
I know.
This.
Yeah.
I just want to rehab the conversation
yeah.
we already had.
Yeah.
About how Konami, like, missed the point, essentially, of Metal Gear. But, yeah, we'll get into it right now.
Metal Gear Survive?
Well, yeah, I know. I wish I had shown Sean the trailer, because I was, like, eager for your 2 cents. I swore we would have... Man, I can't believe we never talked about it. It is a game where, at the end of... I mean, you played Phantom Pain. You never played, like...
You
never played Ground Zeroes.
No.
Well, how Ground Zeroes ended was that your base got blown up.
Right.
And that's how Phantom Pain starts. It's been 9 years. You've been in a coma. You remember that. The hospital bed and all that. In that 9 year period, it shows what this new game is. It takes place between them. The base has been blown up and you see Snake and all of them fly away on their helicopter. And you're soldiers on the base. They're like, what? A portal opens up that sucks you into an alternate universe.
What the fuck?
And it's a bunch of
monsters.
Zombies. It's zombies.
With, like, no heads and, like
glowing
horns.
Yeah, it's zombies, and it's a multiplayer
it's a
game. Soldiers where you're killing the zombies.
Yeah.
That is so
Metal Gear
awesome.
Survive.
That's so fucking awesome. because they know what they're doing, right? That's gotta be a joke. It's gotta be a joke.
No, they're just capitalizing.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they know
what they're doing.
I don't think it's a joke.
Well, okay, it's not a joke, but
joke.
They thought, like, how can we fucking shit on Kojima harder? I know.
what I will say is funny about this, and I actually give him credit for this, is, okay, we're doing the first Metal Gear without Kojima involved. Okay, as soon as we can, throw this into another fucking dimension.
Yeah.
Okay, like that was priority one. Like, what do we do about the Metal Gear storyline and the, portal opens up and it's funny. Which I actually... I've seen some people attack this game using that. Now, I have my own personal attacks for it, but...
And we're
going to
get into that momentarily.
Yeah, people using the alternate dimension thing as like, right there, it's stupid. Is that crazy for Metal Gear? Metal Gear is so full of crazy shit. Don't hate it. I used the example before, but it's like Indiana Jones. Crystal Skull. That movie sucked. Aliens, right? And it's like... Aliens were not even the fucking problem with that movie.
Yeah,
there are so many worse things about that movie.
I want to get into like my main issue, why I feel like this missed the point of Metal Gear.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this trailer is like, first of all, it's fucking blasé. It is every game that already exists, every Call of Duty, everything that is a war zone game that is not Metal Gear Solid.
Mm-hmm.
They took all those elements and put it in Metal Gear Solid. And, in my opinion, kind of took a shit on what Metal Gear Solid stood for.
Mm.
Which, I think, and maybe I'm incorrect, but I always felt like Metal Gear Solid was a story, ultimately, of non-violence. Hear me out.
Yes.
It's a very violent game. If you choose to play it violently, that's your choice. But Solid Snake, his weapon is the tranquilizer gun. And they very much encourage you to use that. You get a special achievement. It's almost like if you can go through the whole game just tranquilizing people, that's the true way to play the game.
Yeah, it's usually the first weapon they give you.
It's the first weapon they give you, and it's the only one you need. They specifically designed those games to where you can beat this game being completely non-lethal.
That's still my main sub-weapon.
And, all the time. And kind of the theme of Metal Gear Solid is the Metal Gear is the ultimate, most destructive weapon on Earth.
It is
like a man-made monster with nuclear capabilities. And the most insanely violent, warmongering people have control of it. So you, as the hero, are Solid Snake. You're not afraid of those people. Even though they have the ultimate weapon on Earth, you're not afraid of them. You come in with a non-lethal weapon.
The most non-lethal.
Most non-lethal weapon, and you single-handedly are going to disarm them. You're going to save the day. You're going to make the world safe. So you're coming from this point of very confident hero. I don't need to kill anybody. I'm just going to stop you because you're crazy and you're evil. Throw all that out the fucking window with Metal Gear Survive. Oh, fucking monsters are coming. They're going to get us. And it's like fucking machine guns and fucking
exploding arrows.
Let me just say this, too.
Hold on. Let me just round up my point.
Yeah.
You went from being a confident, fearless, non-lethal hero to a fucking scared, like, oh, you're back against mine. We got to fucking kill everything that moves. And like, that's the opposite of what Metal Gear stood for.
Yeah, and it also, I mean, not even in the past maybe 2 weeks, on this very podcast set, I think we were here, I talked about how, can we get the fucking Marines out of the... Like, I know there's soldiers in Metal Gear, like, Phantom Pain, soldiers are inherent to the story and all that stuff. But here we are, now it's, once again, now it's the heart of another game. Give me my fucking 12-gauge and shove it in your fucking face. I'm a fucking Marine, I'm a fucking... soldier, you know, it's like, but anyway, regarding to what you said about like the message of nonviolence, I just want to say one, when we pitched a video a long time ago to Kojima to do a cameo in, it involved him shooting people with a gun, and he said no, because I don't send that message. He literally said that. That he always wants to send a message of nonviolence. So that's one, okay. But two, people will always bring up, I mean, I think most people are kind of down on this game anyway, but there are some people who were like, you know, in bringing up what you just brought up, will go, well, what about Metal Gear Rising? That wasn't solid, and it had him hacking up a bunch of shit. Two things about that. One, I don't think any human violence in that. It's all
robots.
But two, let's say whatever. Two, his violence is portrayed as a problem. It's never in that game as, fuck yeah, you fucking did it, man. Let's fucking cut some dicks off, bro. And
they're
not
robots.
It's portrayed as an issue with his character.
That's going to lead into my next point.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid Rising was kind of about how Raiden realized, like, oh, I've been, like, bred to be this soldier. Maybe that's not the best thing for me. And it's kind of like, who are the soldiers? They are the people who are actually doing the fighting. The decision is with them, you know? And I felt like Kojima always takes time to make the villains, and even just the, you know, even in Metal Gear Solid 5, it was set in Afghanistan in a real world place, and he took care to make the villains set in the real world with, like, real motivations, and you can understand, like, how all of this affected the huge world. This one is literally faceless villains. Like, they rip the faces off their villains, and they're just like, they're gonna kill you, so you better kill them first. And it's just so watered down. That's all.
I think that's all it comes down to.
Well, Konami fired the creative mastermind behind all of it. This game is just like a 3-year-old could write this game. Like, it's nothing.
Well, yeah, I think
the premise. I don't know the game itself, but the premise of it sounds like, I mean, if that's what it is, then it's like, well, tell any little kid what you want. I want to kill zombies. Okay, there you go. Like,
with my friends.
Yeah, with
upgradable weapons.
I don't even think it's a matter of, like, there are not people who know what they're doing working on it. Because I'm sure there are still really talented developers over there, but Konami has proven time and time again that without a key person to kind of sum it all up, they can't really get it together, and they haven't done anything in the over a decade, maybe two, without a big director like Kojima that has even turned out.
I will say that no matter what this game was, people would be pissed. No matter
exactly.
what.
Sure.
No,
exactly.
So why not make it the base thing that everyone wants? Well, not everyone. The kids want right now.
Which
because
is what?
Everyone...
Minecraft.
They want to shoot zombies and they want upgradable weapons.
Yeah. Sure.
So why not? Everyone's already fucking pissed anyways.
just slap the name on it and then just do this and you're done.
The fans, the Fox engine costs so much
I'll
to
answer
make,
that.
They gotta use it for
something. I have
something.
The answer. Yeah. Just like we are now in the post-good movie era, we are moving into the post-good video game era.
Exactly.
They are doing the same thing they do with movies, which is Metal Gear Survive is not a Metal Gear game. It's a multiplayer zombie survival game that has the thinnest tie to Metal Gear.
Sure.
But that thin attachment is there
to
market it to you.
All the marketing they need. Yeah.
And that is the same mentality they do with big budget movies, and that's what they're going to start doing with video games. And that's kind of sad, frankly.
They did it a few months ago with Resident Evil Umbrella.
Umbrella Chronicles? Yes.
Whatever.
Or Umbrella Core.
I
played it on the PBS.
Same thing.
It
was like 25-year anniversary of Resident Evil. Here you go. This is what you want. And it's shoot fucking zombies.
Not even that. No. It's like multiplayer Counter-Strike.
Yeah, it's...
It's like a trying to be a Counter-Strike game with the weirdest top-down thing after you die.
Yeah.
And there's zombies in there, but they don't really come get you unless you're damaged. It sucks. It's horrible.
Yeah.
But as a hardcore Resident Evil fan, I pre-ordered it. I have a physical copy of it.
Oh, shit.
And I've played it a few times, and I've had fun with it.
So then,
now,
same thing with Metal Gear.
Let me ask you.
Okay.
If it wasn't a Resident Evil game, do you think you would have done that?
Nope.
There you go.
Will you play this game?
Yes.
This Metal Gear.
So that's what I was going to say. So the morning all the news... Actually, we saw... Kevin and I were driving back really late from somewhere, and it was at Gamescom, so the time zones and all that.
Yeah,
it was like 1:30 in the morning, and all of a sudden that came over. It's like, there's a new Metal Gear trailer? What the hell's going on? And so we watched it, and it was just like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
Anyway, I went to bed... I woke up the next day and opened Twitter, and it was so funny because my entire Twitter timeline was like all these industry people I know literally posting like roll eyes emojis and going like, oh God, thinking of our friend Kojima today. Oh my God, thinking of that. And amidst all that, Garrett was going, I'm going to play it. I'm going to play it.
I thought I had a very mildly positive tweet, which kind of slammed... The fact that I don't want a definitive edition that's supposed to come out at the end of the year as well.
I don't care about that.
I mean, unless that has Chapter 3 in it, I don't want Ground Zero. Well, here's the thing. As a huge Metal Gear fan, I might buy Ground Zero's package with Phantom Pain just to stick on the shelf.
Yeah. Sure.
But
as a collector, sure.
There's two game franchises that I am absolutely in love with. That's Resident Evil and that's Metal Gear. And I've played everything that those characters have ever shown up in. I've got all the Marvel vs. Capcom games for Jill and Chris. And I've got the Metal Gear Acid spinoffs. And I've got the Smash Brothers game because Snake was in it. So, like we talked about those shitty Resident Evil games, I'll get Survive. And I am optimistic about it. Because I haven't seen any gameplay yet. If it's by the team who did anything or has anything to do with what Metal Gear Online has been.
Yeah, you play that a ton.
I play it weekly. I mean, I play it regularly.
Yeah.
I still play Phantom Pain. I'm still going on over 400 hours in that game.
Yeah.
That is by far my favorite Metal Gear Solid game. And the online stuff is fun, too. When the trailer happened, I was kind of like, what is this?
Yeah.
I've known for a year, Mom and Dad got a divorce.
Yeah.
Mom and Dad were together for like 16 years of my childhood, and I got great fucking Christmas presents every year. Metal Gear 1, Metal Gear 2, Metal Gear 3, Metal Gear 4. When Konami and Kojima were together, the magic fucking happened. Mm. But I've known that they got a divorce a fucking year ago, and I know that Dad... went off and is going to make some shit with Sony, and I know that Mom is going to keep making some shit called Metal Gear. I just know that's how a company operates.
But you know with Christmas you want to go to.
At Christmas? No, Kevin. That's the fucking brilliance, Kevin. At Christmas, I get two fucking presents now. Oh. I'm going to get Death Stranding.
You get a calculator or an amazing game.
And Death Stranding is going to be fucking great, but as a huge Metal Gear fan... I'll still tune in to see what this game is. And I haven't seen gameplay yet, so I'll remain optimistic. And I'm going to play both. But, like, Death Stranding is what I am very much more excited for.
I'm so stoked for
At that. My heart of hearts, I've been a Kojima fan, and
but
I support him along
the
way.
Doesn't it just feel like this isn't a Metal Gear game?
No, it
really?
Is not. But I've known it's going to happen for a year.
But why do
And
you...
it could be so much worse. Because they could try to retell a Solid Snake story, or they could... try to retell the story of the Cobra unit in World War II and like shit all over.
Yeah, they immediately announced Metal Gear 6.
They're not fucking up his storyline, which is, I think, what hardcore fan bases would appreciate.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, if this game wasn't called Metal Gear, it would have nothing to do with Metal Gear.
Exactly.
So slapping the title on it doesn't make it a Metal Gear game.
But that's just what a big ass company like Konami's going to do.
And it would never sell.
That's what Capcom did.
Yeah.
And that's what Square does. They put out Final Fantasy shit that's like music games. It's like has nothing to, you know, like it's just a way to make money as a company. And if you're a hardcore fan of, I love all my guys from Mother Base. I put them in there in Peace Walker. They lived there. They breathed there. And then in Ground Zeroes, the fucking whole thing burned down. And that was like a big thing in the game that really affects you as a player. So now to find out that I can relive with some, you know, familiarity, it looks like the universe. It's in the Fox Engine.
Right, right, right.
It's got the references.
Yeah.
It's like playing, you know, Resident Evil Gaiden on the Game Boy. It wasn't a good Resident Evil
game. Was I the only one who was disappointed that the female was not, like, overly sexualized? Like, where was the crazy Kojima bikinis?
I got a Ghostbusters.
Wasn't that the first thing you said?
Hey, seriously?
We watched the trailer.
I don't want to come off as sexist, whatever. But this chick comes out in full fucking armor, man. I'm like, that's not a Kojima game. Because he would have put her in some crazy bikini with, like, tentacle arms or some shit.
I think it's going to be very character customizable. So I think if it's the team that's bringing you the MGO stuff, all those tactical bikinis should be in there.
I don't need tactical bikinis, but I feel like that is what Kojima brings. Like, characters that are...
Everything's heightened.
Yeah.
Characters that are outside the norm of what's expected for a military video game. Yeah, and now that he's gone, it's like... The people at Konami are like, finally, we can get rid of that weird shit.
Well, we'll see. I mean, again, we've only gotten the little trailer.
Soldier.
About it, so who knows?
Machine gun. Oh, this is a good game already.
To be fair, they got sucked into an alternate dimension in the trailer, so they're a little weird. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes, given that.
You know, I'll admit, like, it is generic looking, like you're going to fight waves of things, but
that's
I don't
my
know
issue.
Yet, because we haven't seen
games. Yeah, they just announced it.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
The trailer's cutscene stuff, so fingers crossed.
For me, it's just funny, because for me, I have a very different perspective on it. It's what you said, like, you made your peace with, like, okay, when all the Kojima stuff went down, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be, we're going to get, you know, like you said, the divorce is going to happen. You knew that going in.
Yeah.
My mentality when I played Phantom Pain was, this is the end of Metal Gear for me.
Yep. Yeah.
I flat out played that game going, I won't play another one. Because for me, and this is just me, but I've never played anything else that was so tied to one person. You know, Final Fantasy is one thing, but there have been artists in and out of that series. Yoshitaka Amano did amazing stuff, but so did Nomura and this. And that. It's such a cacophony of people. There isn't one voice that, like, oh, they're gone, so I can't play. Although I will say, I think it's been shittier without Sakaguchi. It has been. Yeah. But there's still other factors. Metal Gear is, I felt like the soul of one guy, and it's not there.
And
so I don't care.
This new Metal Gear game, I feel the same way when I hear they're making a new Han Solo movie and they're getting a new actor to play it. And I think to myself, it's like...
Is that real?
Yeah, it's real. Yeah.
Hey, it's a trilogy.
Yeah. And
is
I
it
think
trilogy?
To
a Han Solo trilogy.
And I think to myself, it's like...
Kids will like it, I guess.
You don't have the right to do that. You didn't create that. That's not the actor. I know you spent more money than I'll ever see in my life to legally be able to put the name on this movie... But you don't have the right to create that. That's just not a right
but
you have.
But they own it.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
and I know. They
own
paid
it, and
so
kids
much money.
Are gonna, kids, it's for
I know.
Kids now.
They own
We're
it.
We're too old.
And it's a beautiful thing that they own it. And I will pat them on the back and shake their hand.
Make a new thing.
But they don't have the fucking right to make a Han Solo movie. You're not George Lucas. And I know George Lucas, he sucks. He's old. He made Han Solo. That's his creation. Han Solo exists, and you love that creation so much, you want to make that creation and put your own name on it and be like, look, I made it too, and it's just as good. Fuck off.
No,
you
that,
can't.
You're making prequels.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about this Metal Gear game. It's like, hey, Kojima made Metal Gear. Isn't it wonderful? You're not Kojima. You're never going to be him. Yeah. You're never going to be him. Sorry.
Nice try.
You can spend all the money in the world. You're never going to be him. And that's just it.
Anything from here on out will never be what Perfect Storm we got.
Yeah. So end it.
Yeah, you don't. I mean,
but
no.
In all reality, who expects them to go? Okay, let's pack.
I know, but that's how I vote. Hey, I don't play it.
It's true. You own it. True. So it's true. You own it. Go kill it.
Go
fuck
butcher it.
You know, go butcher it. But
so, go make money off it.
So that. But anyway, so yeah. So that was my mentality when I played five. I was like, well, they're going to keep this going without him, and I'm not interested. So that was it. But I was going to say too. In saying that, I have had a lot of people tell me like. Yeah, but come on, like, he didn't want to make Metal Gear anymore, but it's like, well, yeah, no, I didn't even want another Metal Gear from Kojima. I wanted that to end there, and it did, so,
I wonder, even if he stayed
I'm glad,
there probably wouldn't have been another Metal Gear. I mean, he wanted to quit after what, 3?
Yeah, I mean, after every game he kept saying it was the last one.
So
I'm happy he's making an original game.
He wanted to work on a new
finally,
game.
Finally, he's unchained from that franchise, in a sense.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Moving on to his new thing.
No, it's not like this being unchained. It's like he has no other option. You know, like he can't do Metal Gear anymore. So now,
but it's what he's
great.
Wanted.
He's wanted. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
what
no,
he's
exactly.
wanted.
So
yeah, but you know what? 10 years from now, he could have come back to it. Set Metal Gear in the '90s.
And hey, when it's business,
hey,
nothing is set in stone, man.
No.
And if there's cash on the fucking table in 10 years, and he comes to write and direct, and someone's publishing a big company that's not Sony in the future, who knows? But, yeah, I mean, right now it's interesting times.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's where it stands. That's where it is.
Heavy stuff.
Heavy stuff. Heavy stuff. But again, though, I have to get this out there. There are people that we still like at Konami. It's not like this is whatever.
Definitely.
We have great friends there, and I know there's a lot of talented people there. Hey, people ask me all the time, like, because they know we worked with them, like, oh, how hard was it to work with them? How da 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 da. Well, I understand there's horrible things in business. We never got any of that. We had great people working with us and all kinds of stuff. So that's not any kind of dig on them. It's just a bit, you know,
on
this
both
is
sides.
This is an uncomfortable move all around.
Working nothing
so,
but nothing but positivity working with Kojima himself as well.
Oh, absolutely,
everyone
nice
at Konami.
Everyone's
on
nice.
Both sides, we have nothing but great opportunity.
But it has nothing to do with that. It's just more this kind of move and how to, you know, what to think about it. So whatever, we'll see how things look as they actually show us the game later and things like that. But that's where I stand on it. I think we all have kind of said, I'm curious what you'll see once you actually
it's a discount too.
See the thing.
It's not full price.
That's
it's
what
like
I was going to say.
$30, $39, or $24.
I do think they are playing that side.
I do think they are
playing.
Well, now this is a smart move.
See,
I was going to say, I do think they are handling that aspect of it smarter
than
they could have.
You know they're going to step on the name. I think they're stepping as lightly as they can.
Yeah. To see how it goes.
As likely as they can.
To see how it goes.
Honestly, I don't care.
People in the chat saying Batman, you know, I say you don't have the right to take over somebody else's creation. Well, maybe I stand corrected then, because Batman got better over time. When new people got involved. But, to be fair, that took about 70 years to get that right.
And now
so,
Affleck's fucking it up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And they got shitty again.
Fucking
so, I don't know what to think.
There's some things that are just not as defined by one guy. I don't feel like, you know, Batman has, you know, a very established creator and, well, actually even that, there's some argument. but it took kind of lots of cooks to make Batman
what it is.
That's
what's fun about Batman, even comics, you know, is through this lens.
Yeah, and Batman wasn't what it is today at all without a lot of people. Yeah.
He used to kill people with guns.
And I still think Metal Gear isn't like Metal Gear was the
one
voice of one guy. So that's why I just can't get behind this.
Oh,
you know? But
good point. Batman was always a collaborative effort. It wasn't one guy writing it and then he drew it and then he published it. It was
artists, pencilers.
Yeah, for years and years and years, and it took decades to get it to a point of awesomeness. Yeah, right. Metal Gear was the brainchild
of one person.
Yeah,
of one
person. Guy's
as
soul,
was Han
man.
Solo. Back to where I was. Cool.
Oh man. Hey, speaking of that Han Solo thing.
Yeah.
The remember that movie Tetro? That Francis Ford Coppola put out just independently.
Yeah.
I finally watched that like last weekend. It was really good.
He funded it with his wine.
Yeah, honestly, $15 million of his wine money.
He really did. He was like, I want to make my own independent movie. I don't want anyone else to put any money into
it. Was it good?
It was, hey, for a little small movie, it was great. Did you ever see it?
Tetro.
It was great. I mean, That guy still has chops, and it's funny, you don't hear about him anymore at all. It's like, oh yeah, he's done.
All his fucking kids.
Like, yeah. The intro was way up there back in the day, man.
But, it wasn't bad. But anyway, it's, Vincent Gallo, and then a younger kid who tries to get in touch with them. They're brothers, and his younger brother tries to get in touch with them. And he's a really good-looking, like, younger dude. You know, he's, like, probably early 20s. Good-looking guy, real suave dude. And he's Han Solo. That's who they cast.
No
and I'm
shit.
Looking at this, and the weekend before I watched The Conversation, which had a young Harrison Ford. So I'm like, Coppola just keeps finding these young Han Solos.
No kidding.
Anyway.
That guy was in the Coen brothers' most recent movie.
Yes.
Oh, he played the fucking cowboy.
Yeah,
he was great in that.
He was great in
He's
that.
Really good. Yeah. He's really good.
Hey, no, nothing against that actor, but
no,
I mean.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Well, I can't. Who's played Chewie?
Yeah, who's gonna be young Chewie?
I could be young Chewie.
Chewie. He's little. Han Solo should be taller than Chewie.
Just cast a dog.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah. Little puppy.
Yeah.
CG.
Lab.
No, do him CG this time.
Yeah.
Have a chocolate lab on its hind feet.
Yeah. You know, if the Han Solo movie isn't good, there'll be another Star Wars movie the year after that for the rest of time.
Yeah,
so
but
it's not
it
over it.
The rest of time.
I wonder how much they're going to cool off on the Star Wars, like, spinoffs and things being every year. Well, hold on, because the Avengers,
they scheduled
all the Avengers movies
for
however many years coming up, and they just...
unscheduled them?
They were about to do... The next Avengers was going to be the Infinity War Part 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Part 1 was coming 1 year, and Part 2 was coming another. And they just scrapped that. They just said, just do the one, and that's it.
Yeah.
You're already starting to see them go, okay.
Well, now that X-Men fucking bombed and Suicide Squad...
I think they're cooling down, and I'm wondering if they'll cool down on Star Wars. I guess
we'll see
how Rogue One does.
Hey, less comics, more sci-fi shit. Blade Runner, Aliens, all that shit's coming.
Yeah. I think X-Men made them the money they were looking to make. I do not think that was a bomb.
I think it was a bomb.
I don't know if it flopped, but like that was like what...
Yeah,
seven,
I don't know if
X-Men
any of these
flopped
as much as they
I think the Marvel stuff still does...
But
what
it's like
they
Fox,
expect
it's not
to
like
do.
Disney
I think,
Marvel.
I think that their expectations are really, really high.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like,
They just think if it's a superhero movie, what the fuck is Aquaman going to do?
Oh, it's
well,
going to be
DC's
so good.
Never,
maybe that'll be the final
it's,
nail.
I feel like DC has just never figured it out. And they're trying to just kind of start with putting everyone and show everyone and we're going to make a movie with everyone
Who
together.
The F
and they're way behind.
Aquaman. Really? What person in power said... Yeah, Aquaman, that's always been popular.
It worked with Ant-Man, though, I guess. That
Blood
version was funny.
Ant-Man is silly.
Aquaman.
I just feel like...
DC just can't figure it out.
Since we were all little kids, we've always known Aquaman is fucking lame. We all know that.
Yeah, I've been
noticing. Everybody on Earth knows the guy who talks to fish is the lamest superhero on Earth.
They make him all sexy, though, now, and they're gonna...
Maybe he'll fuck a dolphin.
Hell yeah.
I would watch it if Aquaman had sex with a dolphin.
Right,
if that
was
like in the trailer, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to check that out.
Hell yeah.
Because that's an interesting take
sex.
On Aquaman.
I like that.
That's something I never knew about Aquaman. The two smartest creatures on Earth having sex,
that's
a movie.
Well, they can talk to each other, so he must know how intelligent that dolphin is.
Maybe he has to like confer to him, like, hey, how do I solve this?
If it was just Aquaman in an underground room talking to a dolphin for 90 minutes...
That's
maybe they go to like a college class together. Yeah,
they're not going to do
are
that.
Are they banging blowholes?
They're not
going to
get
doing actually.
Okay,
the
good
one.
Night.
Or do they
thank
blow
you.
Bang
they
hold on. No. Hold on.
5 hours.
We got to wrap this up. We have to end this.
Yeah, right. Half an hour ago.
We have to. We have to end this now.
It's a cramp.
I want to say thank you to everybody for watching. I want to just say we are going to be at PAX.
Saddle.
PAX. What are the dates? September 2nd through the 5th.
I don't know.
From 5th. September 2nd through the 5th, and we have a panel the Friday of PAX, but we have an exclusive that's going to be at the show that I'd like to debut now.
Oh,
people watching this live aren't going to be able to see it,
uh-oh.
So you're going to have to look on Twitter.
No.
But
go look on Twitter.
Look on the screen right now, everyone watching this on Tuesday. That is our PAX exclusive poster.
Whoa!
And it's going to be available. It's actually not just a PAX exclusive. It's going to be at PAX, at Long Beach Comic Con, in California. And you know what? We're going to bring it to Game Days in November.
Cool.
Which, by the way,
if
you haven't bought your tickets, go to mega64.com/gamedays and get your tickets now to our event in November 5th and 6th. We've already confirmed some guests. Well,
Anaheim.
We haven't told you yet. It's in Anaheim. We haven't told you the guests yet, but we're locking them down as we speak. It's going to be fun. So get your tickets now, and we'll bring this poster there too. So everyone there, check that out. We're also going to be bringing back at PAX the Experiment sweatshirt. Everyone has been asking for it to come by. It's going to be at PAX. So go and get one. It's your next chance to get one. And hopefully, if we have some left, we'll sell them online after the show. So anyway, go to PAX. We got all kinds of stuff at the booth, but our panel is on that Friday.
Go
so
buy
check
a badge
that out
right now. Go get PAX. Go to Game Days. Actually, if you want to go to PAX, in Boston, it's legal to scalp tickets. So you can go front and
Seattle, right?
Seattle. I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is that why they're always out there doing
that?
Yeah,
you can
that
legally
yeah
do that. So sucks. It's easy to get a badge for PAX, honestly.
Oh, I'm going to sell my badge last day. Come
perfect
to PAX.
Tight.
You can come on the last
buy
day.
Buy Derek's badge, yeah.
You can get an exhibitor pass.
Well, yeah, thank you for watching. And only 534 more days to the next Olympics, guys. So, see you there.
Oh, the Olympics represents everything that's wrong with society. Can we talk about that for a minute?
No,
welcome, as promised, the 5-minute extra sweepstakes edition of this week's podcast.
We're gonna be picking out some winners today. People who patronized us in a good way.
Thank God, finally a good way.
Yeah, but before we announce the winners, let's show off all the exclusive Mega 64 merchandise we're going to be sending out.
Oh my God, this is
some rare and highly sought after Mega 64 stuff. All of this clearly is exclusive Mega 64 merchandise. There's my action figure, Derek the Comedy God. All of this and more is coming to our Patreon sweepstakes. All right, back up here, cameraman. All of this and more is coming to our patrons as a thank you. And, without further ado, right? Let's announce
here
the
winners.
Here
we
go. We got three winners.
We pulled the winners. Random drawing.
For the sake of transparency, here's what we did. We took a list of all of our patrons who were eligible. We loaded them up into a random item selector on the internet. Boop, 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 beep, boop, boop. The computer spit out three names. Drum roll, please. Here are our winners. So, for June, our winner of the Mega 64 Patron Sweepstakes Special Bundle is Owen McCormick. Woo!
Owen!
Congratulations,
Owen!
Owen! We're not going to reveal the emails.
Owen!
This isn't all, I mean,
the name of the very first, the inaugural sweepstakes winner, Owen. You're so lucky.
You did it, Owen.
We might send you a still waiting special edition Life After Katrina. Again, this is a Mega 64.
Kind of a funnier version of Still Waiting.
Yeah, you know.
Oh my God. Oh,
no. Better comedy.
No.
All right, next up, our second winner. His name got spat out of the machine. Beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop. Ender's Game style. We got David.
Oh, David.
He didn't put a last name.
So if your name is David and you are in our patron.
But you know what? We
have a better shot now.
We looked up. There were 6 Davids in our Patreon. Only one of them failed to put a last name. He did list an email. So we know what David it is. It's David. It's David.
We're just going to look for Goliath.
And you know what? There's 6 people out there who think they won, and only one of them is right. But to that one lucky David. Woo!
Yeah, that David.
Coming to your way is Sega Genesis. The Mega 64 new Batman. We went back in time and made that.
Yep. All right.
This is getting long. We all hate it when the podcast goes long. Sean likes it, but
I love
it.
I fucking love it.
I'd rather just wrap it up.
So, our final winner, the most recent sweepstakes winner, number 3. Drum roll. Drew Applegate. Whoa!
Drew!
Thank you. Congratulations. You won. You win.
So we're going to divide these prizes up. Maybe you'll get. Someone's already getting that. You can get this.
Nice.
Good for you.
My favorite part of this figure is that you wrote Derek Comedy. Hey everybody, check out Mystery Team. It's
Derek,
coming out soon.
That's Derek, Comedy God.
Check out Mystery Team on
DVD. It looks like Derek
Comedy.
It looks like Derek Comedy.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I like these Kutaragi cards too. These are rare.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get a Sharpie. I'm gonna scratch that out.
Okay.
It's just gonna say Derek God. So no confusion.
Yeah, because that's not what I thought it was.
Anyways, hey, Thanks. Thank you for watching.
Thank you for supporting us.
Sign up because you could be our next winner. We'll see you next time. Goodbye. Nice. Yeah.
Cut.